You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
If you're listening, just know you made a great decision to tune in to the Locked On Pac-12 podcast. We've always got the latest about the Conference of Champions right here for you. You can make another good decision and join Locked On NFL Draft hosts Trevor Sikkema and Benjamin Solak for recaps and analysis of the 2021 NFL Draft and a look ahead at next year's future first-round picks. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Today is all about coaches on the hot seat, but this time it's the men's basketball edition. We did do a football edition, so if you want to listen to that one, go ahead and find it in the archives. But joining me now is Locked On Wildcats host Michael Luke. Michael, how you doing today?
How about Cindy? How you been?
I'm good. You know, getting through the week. Try not to stress about things.
Right. Oh, I'm totally the same way. I got you.
I feel like I'm a lot more calm than some of these guys we're about to talk about because they have, you know, a lot of expectations coming into the season. And I think we should just jump right into it.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's a good problem to have because you're making millions of dollars. But at the same time, nobody wants to possibly be looking at possibly losing their job.
Fair. That's 100% fair. So it's like if you lose it, at least you racked up this money in the meantime, right?
Got paid in the meantime, for sure.
Exactly. Okay, so I think we should start off with UW's head coach, Mike Hopkins. If anybody's familiar with UW's history as far as, you know, basketball goes, they're usually one of those schools in the Pac-12 that is at least in contention for a title, will make it to the tournament. And, you know, the last time they made it, was in the 2018-2019 season, which was the last time they actually recorded a winning record. So Mike Hopkins is really on the hot seat right now. Michael, what do you think about that?
Yeah, Mike Hopkins is on the hot seat, and there's really no other way to put it. When he was brought in from to take over for Lorenzo Romar, I think a lot of people thought that, you know what, he would be a good recruiter, or maybe not the recruiter Romar was, but he would be a much better X's and O's coach, which I think is fair to say that he is. But the problem, though, Cindy, is that he just doesn't have much talent now. Now, he got a couple guys in his first go around. You got a guy in Jalen Noel who stuck around, and then you were able to bring in Isaiah Stewart and Jaden McDaniels, two five-star kids. But It just hasn't added up. And more so than anything, he hasn't been able to keep the really, really good Seattle players home. And if you can't keep the really good Seattle players home, then what are we really doing here? Because that's basically how they've made their impact in the past when they've been really, really good. And look at it and you're like, man, there's just not a ton of talent there. And I kind of think that this is going to be his last year because I don't think that there's a ton of I just don't see that they have the talent to compete and be in the top six in the Pac-12. And you know what? I think at some point, if you're Washington, you got to have a little bit higher expectations than that.
Something you mentioned that stood out to me for sure is that he's not being able to retain those Seattle, Washington players. And I think that is a huge deal because I went to Washington State, for anybody who's listening for the first time and don't know. And so I'm very aware of how, like, the dynamic goes in recruiting in Washington. And so one of the things that we've always noticed was that UW does get some of those top, players in the area from Tacoma, you know, Mount Rainier, the beach, the school. And a lot of those names, as far as, like, when you think of like a Isaiah Thomas, a Matisse Thybul, DeJounte Murray, those are top names from the area that have gone to UW. If you, like you said, if you can't retain those, it's not a good look because most of those kids grow up wanting to play at UW.
Yeah, and because there's a certain amount of charm to it because in Seattle is one of the most underrated basketball talent bases in the entire country. I mean, you've got three or four schools right there between Garfield, Franklin, Rainier Beach, mm-hmm. and one or two others that have produced probably you know, 20 pros over the last 10 to 12 years. And so you, if you can't keep those kids home, then it really kind of takes away from the job, because the job should be fairly simple, and that, you know what, I'm going to keep the best players home and I'm going to be able to work around and have some of the better players then from around the region come in. And the fact he has been able to keep his backyard intact just shows that it's kind of a rudderless ship right now. And he started off well, but you could make the case that that was with a lot of Lorenzo Romar's players. And I look at the roster this year and I just don't see a lot here, Cindy. I think that this is a team that's probably going to be around the 10th best team in the country, or excuse me, in the country, in the conference. And I don't see them being much more than that. And I think if that's the case, I think you got to look to go in a different direction if you're Washington.
What, if anything, could possibly happen for him to salvage his job?
He's going to really have to coach these guys up, because I look at it and I just don't see it. He doesn't have a ton of talent. He's going to have to coach them up. And you know what? If maybe he can get them to fourth or fifth, you could maybe make the case that, all right, you know, he outperformed. Let's give him another year. But it's going to take a gargantuan effort for that to happen, because I just don't see that. I think this is going to be far more of a, you're looking at a year where you're probably going to be like 11-18. And so, again, could be wrong, but I don't see it. I think that they're going to be terrible this season.
Yikes. All right. Well, we still have two more coaches to discuss, and you could probably head on over to betonline.ag and make a wager that if they don't produce a winning season, they'll be out of a job. BetOnline is the easiest and fastest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, NBA playoffs are happening, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Giannis and Trey may be out the game, but the Bucks and Hawks are still going at it. So head on over to BetOnline.ag and put a bet in on the game. Why not? Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Playoffs are fully happening. Get in the game and be a part of it. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. And don't forget to use that promo code, LOCKEDON. Okay, next coach on our list to discuss is ASU's Bobby Hurley. Another school that typically does pretty well when it comes to basketball, not doing too well as of lately. Michael, what are your thoughts on Bobby Hurley? You're right there in Arizona. You're, you know, at the more powerful school as far as coverage goes. But what do you think about ASU and like the where they've been lately?
You know, it's Bobby Hurley's weird, because I've always thought that he was a good hire for ASU. But at the same time, I kind of think to myself, Are you ever going to be able to make that next step to where you're beyond a fringe tournament team? And I just don't see that necessarily happening at this point, because last year was a year you were loaded for bear. You had Remy Martin, you had Alonzo Verge, you had Marcus Bagley. Granted, a lot of those guys were hurt, or you had COVID issues, but I thought that was going to be the year. And I know that they lost, I know you lost your big man to Romello White, but Jalen Graham wasn't bad. And I looked at the talent, especially on the perimeter, and I thought they took a backseat to about nobody in the country. But the problem, though, is that you just wonder how much coaching is really going on there. It definitely feels very much like a rudderless ship right there, and that he just kind of throws the ball out. And you can do that to a certain extent, Cindy, but when you're dealing with 17, 18, 19-year-olds, they need some guidance, and I'm not sure that he's ever going to be the guy that's going to be able to give them that.
So that's a difference from what we were just discussing when it comes to UW. We were saying how they lack the talent. Now you're saying ASU has the talent, but doesn't have the coach that is actually knowing what to do with the talent. So what do you think is missing when it comes, like, Bobby Hurley's a former player himself? You would think that, you know, that skill would translate, but is it one of those situations where maybe he's a better player and can't coach?
No, you kind of wonder that, and that's a great question. And I think you're probably of the I think you're looking at it now and you're probably thinking to yourself, are you ever going to be able to get over that hump? And I just don't know that that's ever going to be the case, because when you watch ASU, you know, it's no real surprise as to what the issue is. You've got a bunch of kids out there that just aren't being coached. I mean, it's basically a bunch of guys going one-on-one out there. And if you're going one-on-one, you know, that's cool for a little bit of the game, but when that's basically your strategy for the entire time, that's not going to cut it. And I always thought that maybe he would, you know, kind of adjust after a while. Maybe he would start to metamorphosize a little bit. And that just really never happened. He never was able to pivot and make the move from getting players to being able to make that next move where, you know what, I've got all these good guys. I need to provide some form of structure for them. And honestly, Cindy, that never happened. And I think when you're this far into the game, which he is, what, your fifth or sixth year, you kind of wonder, is that ever going to happen?
Yeah, I was going to say, is it a matter of he saw that maybe in the past, the way he decided to do things worked, and then he's sticking with that because he thinks it works, but is not realizing that, you know, it's time to shift and pivot to figure something else out, because not every way you coach will work for every player.
Right. I mean, it worked, but I think at the same time, though, it also didn't necessarily work.
Okay. Because
it got to the tournament, but at the same time, they weren't exactly, you know, I mean, you're in the play-in game, you win a play-in game, that's cool, but you didn't really ever take that next step. And I don't think that we're at a point in the game now where you can avoid not taking that next step, because it's not good enough. If you're at ASU, I'm not expecting you to be a top 15 program, but at the same time, I'm also looking at it and I'm saying to myself, you should be better than just trying to make the tournament, especially with some of the talent you've got in. I mean, again, you look at it and you got Remy Martin, who is one of the best players in the country. Then you got Josh Christopher, who is a top 10 prospect, Marcus Bagley, Alonzo Verge. The parts should have been much more than what the sum equals. And that's just not come to fruition at this point.
Unfortunate, very unfortunate. Okay, well, coming up next, we have one more coach to discuss. But before we get into that, let me tell you about rockauto.com. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and they have everything you could ever need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Looking for a new healthy snack? Well, why not try Built Bar? It's the best tasting protein bar out there. It comes in 9 delicious flavors with a little something for everyone, from coconut to cherry to mint brownie, even salted caramel. There's literally something for everyone. And if you're interested in trying all the flavors, well, you can get a mix box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. The bars come in 17 to 18 grams of protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and low in net carbs. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. I promise you, it's so worth it. Healthy and tasty. All right, so we're talking about coaches on the hot seat. You know, Michael, we saw 2 coaches get fired at the end of this last season, one of them being Arizona's coach Sean Miller and then Utah's coach Larry Krystkowiak. What were your thoughts before we jump into this next person? What were your thoughts about those firings?
You know, as far as the Sean Miller one, I think made sense because, you know, there was just so much that was going on. And I think after a while, people were just wondering, you know, you're just kind of done with it, I think, at a certain point. And you wonder, is the, you know, the everything we're having to deal with, is that really worth it at that point? And I think for a lot of people, the answer would become no. Now, when you had DeAndre Ayton and when you had a bunch of guys who were, you know, you were putting forth a ton of talent and you were winning games. Ayton was a bad example, but people could put up with it. But when you can't do that, when you're not winning games and you're also kind of stuck at the same time where you're kind of caught in quicksand, you wonder to yourself, all right, is it really worth it? And I think at that point you think, you're like, no, it's not really worth it. So I totally get that. Hristoviak was an interesting one because I always thought that he was a very good X's and O's coach, but you never really made the tournament. You didn't make the tournament and you never really made that next jump. And I think the one thing that you can't have happen is as a coach is not make that next jump. And that just never happened when it came to it. So I understood the firings of both incredibly.
All right. Well, there's a possible one looming over in, I'll say, Northern California with Stanford, Jared Haas. You know, something that you've pointed out about all these coaches is that they're not getting past a hump, right? There's something that's missing, whether that's recruiting or coaching. What is it for Stanford's head coach?
You know, it's weird because I thought he was a pretty good coach. He was a guy that was, you know, his name had been bandied about a little bit as being the possible successor to Roy Williams because he's got a North Carolina connection, but that never, obviously that certainly didn't happen. And you wonder at Stanford, it's a very specific job in that you're going to be able to get some players for sure, but you're going to have to be able to find guys that you might not necessarily be able to get at other schools. And that has been that's been his problem. I mean, this past year, I think you looked at it and you're thinking to yourself, well, you got Zaire Williams, who's a top 10 player. You've got some other guys coming back. You got a Dejon Davis. And whenever there's an expectation, it seems that they've just never really been able to, get over that hump, kind of like these other coaches. It's not that they're bad. It's that you're kind of just toiling in mediocrity. And I think if you're a place like Stanford, you're thinking to yourself, we should be able to be a little bit better than this. And that is that certainly hasn't been the case. And I don't know how good they're going to be this year. It's going to be fascinating. But I would certainly imagine that they're going to need to win some games, because if I'm a Stanford fan, I'm not happy with how everything has been played out to this point.
And to make matters worse, you see how great the women are doing. And it's kind of one of those like, wow, I'm happy for them, but what's going on with our men?
Well, right. Exactly. I mean, yeah. I mean, especially when you got, like you said, Stanford women's hoops is awesome. And okay, that only puts more pressure on you because you're showing it can be done. And I think if you're Haas, that's something that, you know, you're happy for the school, but it's also going to put more pressure on you. Stanford's a job too, where you should be able to be around a fringe top 25 team if you recruit right and you bring in the right guys. I thought Haas was going to be that guy. So far, that's proven not to be the case, and I'm a little bit surprised by that. And it'll be interesting to see if he can make that jump.
Okay, before I let you go, Michael, I need to know, out of all three of these coaches, who would you say has the better chance of keeping their job?
Jared Haas, because he's been good enough, and at Stanford, you know, he's run a clean program. He's shown that he can get some players. The other guys, I think, are in some real trouble if they don't win this year.
All right. UW fans, ASU fans, Stanford fans, be on the watch for your head coach and just see how the basketball season comes along for you. I mean, I'm always wishing everyone luck, but, you know, I'm always rooting for my schools more.
You should.
Exactly. You know, we have our alliances here. It's okay. But we're always rooting for the Pac-12 overall. So, yes, if you need more sports news, head on over to the Locked On Today podcast. You can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast hosted by Peter Bukowski. He updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. So go ahead and follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. You can also follow Locked On Pac-12 and Locked On Wildcats. And then follow along on Twitter at LO_Pac-12, at Locked On Wildcats, at _CindyRobinson, and at IronMikeLuke. Michael, thank you for joining me as always. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure, and I'll talk to you next week, Cindy.
For sure. And make sure you all stay locked on the Pac-12 on Locked On Network.